Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com. Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
B-Pod Studios.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
We've learned this year that there's going to be situations like that.
Now, back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rajiv Talib, his second return for a touchdown this season.
Oh, we have a fight on the other side.
He took that gold chain and ripped it off his neck.
Oh, that's my dog, man.
All right. Up in the public of disco. Akeem Talib, ladies and gentlemen, of 95 The Sports Hub is brought to you by DN Van Lines. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Akeem Talib, hello, sir.
Morning, fellas. What's going on?
Thank you for calling. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. All right, so something came out here, and it talked about the annoying fan bases in sports, football. And the Patriots came in second. You were here during some annoying times for Patriot fans. Where would you rank the Patriot fans based on the other teams you played in terms of the fan base being very annoying?
Up there, man. They definitely involved in the game.
You know,
I feel like if you're the opposing team, if the other team's fans are involved in the game, you know, super loud, blurting out stuff behind you on the bench. I mean, I feel like that puts you in an annoying category. So they definitely involved in the game, man. They care about football. They show up to every game, no matter the weather. So they up there.
In college or pro, is there a fan base? Was there a funny fan base? I'll ask that first. Was there a fan base that did it where you were just like laughing, like, oh God, like this, they put in some work and this is actually pretty good.
I don't know. I remember in college, that Oklahoma State fan base was
racist,
crazy. Yeah, just the Oklahoma State, because they were so close to you. It was how their stadium is built. They like right up on you. You know what I'm saying? So they right up on you. You could have great conversations with them. And I mean, we went out there, we whooped on them pretty good. So it was a lot of conversating with the fans that game.
Do you ever meet a female, like, in the stands? Because I'll tell you a story. There's this guy, Danny Heatley. He played for the Atlanta Thrashers at one time. We were an NHL team. And this girl I know was at the game, and Heatley had the equipment guy hand her a puck with his name and number on it, and she ended up having sex with him. So, I mean, you know, she was flattered, and she ended up, she had sex with him that evening. Now, did you ever meet anyone in the stands? Did you ever, like, roll up tape or something and, like, write your number on it or, like, your hotel room?
Never, man. I'm in there for strictly business. It's work, you know what I'm saying? I don't know the talent level of that hockey player. But I guarantee you, like Wayne Gretzky, he wasn't doing nothing like that.
Well, yeah, Janet Jones. Did you ever see the Police Academy where it started getting really bad, but there was the hot blonde in it? Wayne Gretzky married her.
There you go. I guess it worked out okay.
I'll be on the field at work, man. I'm too worried about what's going on that field.
Okay, so but you're at Kansas, you're at Kansas, and you're playing Oklahoma. Was it Oklahoma State, you said? And so, Oklahoma State, and you guys are killing them, and you're going back and forth. You never, like, looked and saw it. Oh, huh? I mean, because, like, it seems like Oklahoma State would have an attractive, available fan base at their games.
I mean, I remember the game. It's for a little noise talking, but, I mean, come on now. It was 15, 20 years ago.
I remember. Listen, if you were like me, you would remember every time you got laid and cherish it. You're acting like 15 years ago is a long time ago. For me, it's these are experiences to be savored. Did you ever want to fight anyone?
Nah. Just It's football, man. We talking about a football game, and you talk about having sex with somebody in the crowd and fighting somebody. It's like, nah, I was there to play football, so I was playing football.
No, but I've talked to players, more than a few, that have been really pissed off, especially in college.
Yeah, there was a guy in the crowd that would say something, and like, I'm going to fight this guy. And, I mean, there was never an urge to do that.
Yeah, Brandon Merriweather, when he was on, told us about the fans at West Virginia who were really racist and awful to him, and we felt like, although he never did it, climbing into the stands and going after
him. No, I've talked to athletes in every sport that have wanted to fight someone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's more like real life stuff to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's football is football. Outside of football, it's different. You know what I'm saying?
That's so,
I never wanted to fight a fan, man. You're a fan. Like, I hurt you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
It's like an unfair fight. You know what I'm saying? I don't really fight. I'm the bully. I'm the bully beater upper. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the bully. You know what I'm saying? I'm the bully beater upper. So I beat up the bullies.
Mm-hmm. In all seriousness,
I wouldn't go fight a fan. That's too easy.
In all seriousness, you have like a really. I think it's
Zen.
You can attribute. I think some of your success, your ability to compartmentalize things, like you really, and I believe you really, when you're in a football mode, you are just in a football mode. It's a business, and everything else kind of falls to the side. And that is, you realize that's something that very few people can do in any walk of life.
Definitely. I mean, it's hard for people to, you see people in the game, quarterbacks, cornerbacks, whoever just not locked in. And I done played with so many people. I say, oh, my God. Like, he in the stars today. He's a deer in the headlights. He's not locked in. He's not really here. You know what I'm saying? So I've seen that. And I guess that is a skill, man. I always could be present in the game, man. I find myself trying to get other guys present. Come on, baby, lock in, baby. Let's go. Like, you know what I'm saying? I find myself trying to get other guys locked in like I'm locked in. So I guess that is a skill.
Is there anything you do before a game to get locked in? Like, is there a certain ritual or anything that you do in order to get into that headspace?
I try not to get too hyped before the game. I used to listen to a lot of rap music, get hyped up before the game, and then I find myself too jittery, too anxious at the beginning of the game. So I say about my New England starting probably in New England, man. I started trying to calm myself down before the game by listening to R&B music. So I just listen to R&B music. I try to just stay chill. And then, I study throughout the week so I can really know what's going on. I feel like that helped me as well.
You know,
speaking of your time in New England, I saw an interview that you did this past week with Devin McCourty, and you guys were talking about, you know, life without Tom Brady. But at one point you guys said that the one great thing about Tom Brady was that he was just one of the guys. Now, from the outside looking in, that dude's weird. Like, I mean, nobody really knows a ton about his private life. He's like Willy Wonka. It's like he's this big secret thing. I mean, he's let people in a little bit recently. But, I mean, how was he just one of the guys? Give me an example of something he did, you know, as Tom Brady that just proved to you that, oh, yeah, he's just like me.
I mean, just around the locker room, around the building, man, he just, you know, you come to your locker room with a joke. You come tell me, Key, Dev, and fire Dev up. You know, a little joke. He was just one of the guys around the locker room, man. So, I mean, we still wasn't in his private life then. We didn't, like, go hang out with him, you know what I'm saying, after work or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? But around the locker room, on the practice field, his trash talking and his jokes and stuff like that, that made him, you know, feel like one of the guys.
What kind of jokes is Tom Brady telling?
Is he a knock-knock joke guy?
Yeah.
Is it all Polish jokes?
No, I envision it.
It's all Polish jokes.
Now, again, that was 7-8 years ago, so
right.
I don't have one joke you know, tell you. But, you know, just regular jokes, man. Just saying, what a guy wore to work today, or what a guy did in practice today, or, you know what I'm saying, just regular locker room jokes.
Well, you weren't around long enough to see his hairline continually change, so you were there during full head of hair, Tom Brady. I guess it was something to see. But when you said you listened to R&B before the games, I saw John Wallach's eyes light up.
Yeah, because we're talking Commodores? What are we talking about? Lionel Richie? What are we looking at?
Nah, we're talking about a little Beyonce, a little Rihanna, honestly.
John, who do you – because you went very 70s, but you were a fan of
Oh, we talking about Guy, you know, the New Jack Swing, you know, BBD, that kind of stuff? That's me right there. But not a Keep to Leave.
Not that old, man. A little more modern, man.
Wait, you're saying you're younger than I am? Stop.
No, Keith. Because John is wearing a Keith Sweat t-shirt now, so you can't see that. He's a big fan. All right.
I have a quick question about what's going on with, because as a defensive back, you know, you're watching tape and you're looking at, you know, the receivers that you're going to play in the upcoming week. If you are watching a tape of this season's Julian Edelman, what do you see when you see him play?
You know, you see a different quarterback. You see different routes. I see him running a lot of different routes, man. It's kind of a different offense. So it's a lot of bang routes, a lot of screens, things like that, a lot of over routes, man. Whereas in time, it was a lot of crossing routes, a lot of pivots, you know, and a lot of seam routes. His routes is different now. And, I mean, of course, he looks older. He looks older. He is older, man. So you're going to look older. But I think he still can get it done. He's just getting used to Cam.
Is he hurt?
Everybody's hurt.
Yeah, but there's hurt, and then there's injured. Not effective hurt. You know what I mean?
There's hurt and there's injured. Yeah. He's playing like he's injured.
Yeah.
There's hurt and there's injured, but everybody's hurt. You know what I'm saying? Injured, I feel like you're not playing. If you're injured, you're out the game, you're down 2 weeks or whatever. If you're hurt, shit, everybody's hurt. So, I mean, yeah, he hurt. Yeah. Cam hurt. Gilmore hurt. Dev hurt. Everybody hurt. So, I mean, that's what football is. Who can play the best hurt? Because everybody's going to be hurt. So, who can play the best hurt? I mean, he hurt. Everybody hurt.
What game do you remember playing where you were the most hurt, where it was almost intolerable, where you felt, I mean, that you had to play through? What was the worst pain you had to play through?
Probably my Steve Smith game. I was coming back first game from that quad. I tore my, I think it's called like your rectus or something in your quad. Mm. And that was my first game back. And I had the shadowed Steve, so he definitely gave me a workout. He told me to ice up some, but he had 60 yards. But, I mean, you know.
I remember that
remember.
Night.
You remember.
I clear memory I just love it.
See, now, football, stuff like that, I will remember. You know what I'm saying? I remember sacks. I remember interceptions.
Yeah.
I remember touchdowns. I don't remember people in the crowd, but the important stuff I remember.
Doesn't remember jokes by Tom Brady, but he remembers Steve Smith and Ice Up Son.
What did you do after you heard him say
and
that?
I remember, and, I remember, and I remember he had 60 yards.
Now, do you look at that as a victory, or are you?
Hell
you
yeah, against Steve Smith. I think that's a victory.
I don't think so.
If you hold an opposing team's number one receiver, number one receiver is expected to get 100 in a tub a game. You know what I'm saying? That's just what expected of your starting number one receiver. So if you give him 60 yards, no tug, that's a big win.
All right.
Easy win.
See, I strive for more, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing.
Now, that's a great game. Just imagine if you went out, right? If you was blessed to play cornerback one game and your coach told you're going to follow Megatron around. And then you came out of that game.
I take his
and
knees out.
He had seven catches for 60 yards. You'd be like, ooh, I strapped the shit out of Megatron today. He ain't do nothing.
All right, you can't say the S word anymore, or we're gonna, or it's gonna. No, it's no, because then it will cut out.
You're gonna be in trouble.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're allowed two swears on the show to leave, and then we gotta cut it off.
You know? No, no.
I'm in podcast form. You know what I'm saying?
That's okay.
Okay, we on the radio. I got you.
Yeah, I don't mind you swearing, but it does because we have to dump it, and then after three dumps, it cuts the phone off. All right, so you're obviously close with the McCourties. You did the podcast with them. The word is that they were pretty BS about the situation in Kansas City and going out there and in the locker room there, given this whole COVID thing. Are they pissed off about the way the NFL is handling the COVID situation?
I think everybody thinks they could handle it a little bit better. They could have spent a little bit more money to, you know, help the players out a little bit more. But I mean, it's not just the McCourties. I think that's everybody feel that way.
Okay, what do they think the league should have done? Do you know? Do you have any opinions on it?
Well, me personally, I think every team should have had their own bubble. Like, you know, you could have found a hotel, a practice field, You could have got some bus drivers in the bubble with you. You know, that you test the flight crew before and you leave. You leave New England. You go to where you leave. Let's say Denver had their bubble. They get on the bus with some drivers who are in the bubble with them. They fly with some airline people who's all freshly tested. They just put them on the same testing system as you. You'll fly with people who's already been tested. You would land. You would get on the bus with the opposing team's drivers who's in the bubble, and you'll go straight to their bubble. So, I mean, it's bubble to bubble. You travel. You would have just had to get the guys to lock in and say, we're going to be in this hotel. We're going to be in these bubbles for 4 months or whatever. So, I mean, you know, some guys would have griped at it. Some guys would have been with it. But everybody would have been safe.
Now, would you have done it? Because, I mean, that's a lot to ask somebody for 4 months to be in this bubble.
It's a lot to ask, and you're going to pay me, let's just say my average, it's a lot to ask, and you're going to pay me $10 million to do it? Hell yeah, I'm with it.
Right.
Okay, but there's a lot of players who aren't getting paid $10 million. Now, what do you think about those guys?
Well, how much are they getting paid? $500,000 minimum wage, $500,000 to go in the hotel for 4 months. Of course they're going to do it, or you're not going to get paid. That's why guys had the option. You had the option to step into this bubble or not step into this bubble and not be penalized. It's like a free off year for you. So you had the option. So if you wouldn't have stepped into the bubble, I guarantee you they would have found somebody to replace you at your position, man. It's guys is scratching at the gate to get in the NFL. So they would have found somebody hungry, ready to work to replace you. You know what I'm saying? So you would have had the option. You come in the bubble or you don't come in the bubble. Simple as that.
All right, interesting, because there was talk, and I don't even – that the McCourtys and James White, after the situation in Kansas City, were BS, and that there was an opinion that if they would have played – New England would have played Denver 2 weeks ago as scheduled, that there would have been an uprising, that the players would have been crazed, in that there were some people saying that the players would have not played. Is there any reality to that?
No idea, man. I didn't ask the Twins about that. So.
Okay, because you mentioned money and that the players would be willing to go into a bubble. Is there a situation via COVID where you could see players saying, we're not playing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think if one or two more teams get a 20-person outbreak, or if one of these outbreaks leave one of these guys on a, what is it, like the ventilator that people be going on, I think?
Yeah.
If one of these outbreaks leave one of the guys on a ventilator and it, like, gets serious, I think something definitely going to change, man. This thing is going to come to a halt. We'll be on pause for a minute, and they're going to have to clean up the situation. You can't just keep playing and let 20 guys on this team get COVID, and you know what I'm saying? It's just playing with fire. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like we're a two-team outbreak away, or one-guy ventilator away from us making some serious changes.
Okay, so, but you mentioned that if you're going into a bubble, that if players would do it because they don't want to lose the game check, and they don't, and there's other people willing to do it. But on the other hand, players would say, get together and go collectively, we're not going to play, but they wouldn't fear the same repercussions as not going into the bubble.
You're saying, like, if they did it right now,
right? Well, I understand if the league,
well,
if
one's safe and one isn't, Fred. The bubble's
Rich,
safe.
Rich, you're answering the question for him. Yeah. What I'm saying is,
so yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you'd have had a situation set up where guys is going to a safe environment, we all going into this bubble and we stand in here, basically, until, you know what I'm saying? That's a whole different story.
But there's also a whole different story if there's a breakout and 20 people on a team have it and there's a guy in a ventilator. I'm saying that a situation based on what's happened so far in the league, do you see that players would go, we're not playing? Short of...
Oh, yeah, I think that's how that's what I said. If, like, it's two more 20-team outbreaks or one guy get on the ventilator, I think the players is going to step up. Hold on, man.
That I understand.
Hold on, we really getting nervous now, man. Right. We gotta do something. I think it would be the players who made this thing come to a halt. It'd be because the players is like, hold up.
Right. Based on a if there was a very serious outbreak in the league, was saying, you guys still got to play. Do you think that's happened yet? Do you think the league has made players play when they shouldn't have played?
No, I think they gave them time. Every time it's a positive on the team, I think the team shuts down this facility, and they're doing a good job just, you know, moving games around and making sure it's a certain amount of days and a certain amount of tests before those guys come back together. You know what I'm saying? I think they're doing the best they can in this situation.
Right. Do you think that the McCourty twins and the players, though, wouldn't have played two Sundays ago? Do you think it was that serious?
No idea, man. The league did their job. They backed it up, so we'll never know that. So,
okay.
I mean, as long as the league, they must have flexed their muscles. Like, hold on, bro, we can't go play right now. Some stuff going on, and then the league backed the game up. So, I mean, they did what they had to do.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, it's. Would you be afraid playing right now?
I mean, if I signed up, you had an opt out date. Now, if I would have went to work, I wouldn't have been scared right now. I wouldn't have been, because I signed up for it. I'm here. I'm at work. I had an option. You want to come play this year, or you want to just put your contract on pause till next year? So if I would have signed up and said, yeah, I'm coming to play this year, then I'm not going to be scared of nothing I signed up to do. That's like, you know, you getting on the line at Six Flags, and you got in this line to get on this biggest roller coaster at the park. And the point of being scared now, you got in the line to do it. You signed up for it.
I guess the difference is that when you get in the line at Six Flags, there's a reasonable expectation that Six Flags is going to keep that ride safe and doesn't fly off the tracks. So if things happen in the middle of that ride, which make you think that it's going to fly off the tracks, then it's okay to be pissed and not want to be on the ride anymore.
Exactly, and that was my whole point. Is that ride flying off the track, it would be two more teams having 20-plus people or one guy getting laid up on a ventilator or something. That'd be like, oh, this thing is off the track now. Now it's time to say, we need to hop out this line now.
Yeah, I don't think there's a danger of the league playing when a team's got 20 cases on it. I think that would be half the roster, and I don't think that we're in any situation where the league would go about going, hey, guys, play. Well, you'd have to play two ways. Is the way, yes, I mean, you would,
Iron
you'd,
Man.
Yeah, you would have to, it would be Dick Butkus. You'd have to be, you know, playing two ways. I don't think
I'm saying if another team pop up with like 20 people, like two more teams pop up with 20 people, I think that's just.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
You have to do something at that point. It's like, we can't just keep backing up games. Like, okay, let's just let these guys get healthy, back up games. I don't think you can do that. I think it becomes a problem at that point.
Well, yeah, there's no question. I mean, yeah, if a team gets ravaged like that, that's a huge problem that the league is going to have to deal with when that comes. That would be absolutely the worst case scenario. All right, well, Aqib Talib, thank you so much for the time, sir. We do enjoy it.
Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you all next week.
Yeah,
you want to say the S word one more time and take us to commercial?
No, let's not do that. All right, Aqib, thank you so much. And while you're at home during this week, listen to some music by the group Guy. And make John feel good.
I'll check him out, man. I think I know about him a little bit, but I definitely check him out.
All right, there you go. Very good. Aqib Talib, thank you so much for the time. We will return in just a matter of
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. I suppose I can't say I hate this song.
I still love this song, despite as many times we've heard it.
Because the guy
Outfield
died.
Were a good pop band.
Nope. I disagree, but the guy died, so there you go.
Now, do you not like this band just because you know who this band's biggest fan was and you hate that guy? Not Zola. Somebody else.
Oh, no. Steve Barnes, who sued me. I do hate Steve Barnes. No, I don't hate the Outfield. I don't think this is a good song. And there's a sea of literally hundreds of thousands of pop bands, and I don't think the Outfield stand out in any way, shape, or form.
They had, like, four or five, like really good, like, pop songs. Like, this one's great. Say It Isn't So was a good song. Since You've Been Gone is probably their second best. That's a great song.
Yeah, these
All
are
the
songs,
Love was a good one. Yeah.
These are songs that I don't think are part of the zeitgeist. I don't...
Oh, this song is absolutely...
No, it is. This song
no,
is.
No, after the first two... I don't know the others you were just talking about.
You don't know. You would if you heard it. You know. You know Since You've Been Gone.
Yes,
I probably do, but it's not.
But it's not the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, it's not like
the first two you mentioned.
Yeah,
you know, Say It Isn't So and that one are the two.
Like, yeah, those, they like two, Outfield two, is yeah. Fastball with a worse hit.
Ooh, because Fastball's hit wasn't good.
Well, I think The Way is a good song.
Fire Escape wasn't bad.
I don't know that song.
Wow, Fire Escape wasn't bad.
You went deep on Fastball. What's the Eve 6 follow-up single called?
They had one at least. I don't know if Fastball did.
Fastball had three songs. Had three
what?
Songs.
No, they didn't.
They did.
Well,
they
99X only played one. Good. 99X only played one.
No, they had, Fastball had three songs off that one album, and that was it.
Yeah, they had The Way, which is, you know.
Fire Escape was their follow-up.
Yeah,
and then,
I was doing 31 hours a week on 99X during Fastball's heyday, and I don't recall us playing more than The Way.
Yeah,
The Outfield, you know, Your Love and Since You've Been Gone, Your Love was mammoth. I mean, when albums come out that have, like, songs from the 80s, Your Love is on it. Since You've Been Gone is a top-tier hit, but it's not quite Your Love.
Okay. I think that most people would qualify The Outfield as a one-hit wonder. I think that's what they are.
I think they actually had decent... I think Since You've Been Gone did well. And All the Love and Say It Isn't So were good songs, but you're right. They might not have been, like, mega hits. But they're a good band. They wrote good songs. I thought they were a decent band. And the guy was only 62 years old who died. Unfortunately, one of my biggest memories of that band, and Fred was kind of hinting towards it, is that there was a guy that we worked with who was obsessed with this band. And this was maybe around 2002, so the Outfield had been, you know, they hadn't done anything in a long time. And they were doing one of these tours where they would play places the size of the Paradise. And the guy on our show ended up, like, somehow convincing them to come to his house and play in his basement. But, like... there was in his basement had like this giant speaker set up, and like he came down, the guy from the show, and spoke into this microphone. We're all standing like right in front of him. Hi everybody, what are they doing? Why are you using a microphone? There's no need to do this. And then the only reason it seemed that he brought them down and like hired them, I guess, to play in his living room is because he wanted to play drums with them. So like he couldn't wait for the drummer to invite him to play drums. I'm sure there was an agreement beforehand, and it was really tough to watch this band be announced at this dude's house, and they came downstage in their rock and roll outfits, and you're like, oh man, I just want to hug these guys and say, you didn't have to do this.
Yeah.
You didn't have to do
this. Okay, and then I got another story about Steve Barnes, and I just think I'll relate this story because I think everyone knows someone like this. This is not inside radio stuff. There is a band called Cowboy Mouth, which you probably don't even know up here. But they had a minor hit.
Let It Go, Let It Go,
which
let
is
it
a
go.
Terrible song.
Let It Go, Let It Go, Let It Go. That song's not bad, but the rest of the stuff.
And they were okay. It's not bad in that it exists. But they the big thing was they were from Louisiana, and the drummer was the front man, and he would put the drums at the front of the stage. And this was another band that this guy befriended, and they were opening for. We did a series of free outdoor concerts, and they were playing at the beginning of one of them. And this guy was at the foot of the stage, the backstage, like at the top of the ramp, with drumsticks in his hand because he was supposed to play with the band. And but they got caught up in the show and never invited him up to play. And so it was like the Little League kid waiting on deck, but never got his chance at bat. And it was glorious, every moment of it. But if you look at the Outfield catalog, their album Play Deep, released on the 12th of November 1985, was a triple platinum album,
And their follow-up banging was gold and reached 18.
Your Love, how many downloads on Spotify do you think Your Love has?
5 million.
277 million.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, that Spotify's got that weird whole thing happening. Yeah, that's a lot.
And then the next single is All the Love, and that's only 37 million. I mean, still 37 million is a ton, but I mean, 277 million, that is impressive. And it's all Scott Zolak, just on repeat, over and over again. Actually, he couldn't find it on Spotify because he kept typing in, Josie, where's Josie? Which isn't, of course, the name of the song at all.
All the Love reached 19th on the Billboard charts. Your Love reached 7th on the Billboard charts. So there you go. They had two hits.
Since You've Been Gone, I thought was a bigger hit.
Since You've Been Gone was not a single, according to Wikipedia. Or maybe it was. What album was it on?
It was not on Play Deep. Okay, I don't know what album it was on.
Their follow up, which went gold, did not have a charting single. So the Outfield's charting singles.
It reached number 11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I don't see
since
it.
You've been gone, but it was on Bangin'.
Okay, it was on Bangin'. Okay, according to Wikipedia, Bangin', it does not. Oh, Since You've Been Gone. There it is. Yes. Since you've been gone,
it's the Outfield all day and night.
So they're dead. Or the guy's dead. Which guy's dead?
The singer. Singer/bassist. The guy with the really high voice.
Okay, he is no longer with us. So
I've just been fooling around since you've been gone. This world's been turned out.
This is not ringing a bell.
I don't remember this song
the
at all.
Kicks in.
Okay, now that we're into harmony, I vaguely remember this.
I could be in a lie detector and tell you I've never heard this song in past.
I vaguely remember this, yeah.
Five Calls says it all, 617-779-0985. Have you heard this song before? You can pot this down a little bit. I feel like I'm shouting. 617-779-0985. Have you heard this song before? Nick, you're going to have to get fleet-fingered. I know it takes you some time to get loose in there. Well, Charlie wants to talk about the Replacements' influence on alternative music.
Okay.
Why not, Charlie?
Yeah, sure.
Why not? Talk.
That's right on the money. It goes to the Replacements, then the Outfield. They're on equal footing.
Come on.
They're on equal footing. They both.
And then Fastball. That's the holy trilogy of rock music.
Fastball had just as many charting singles as the Outfield.
No, the Outfield, according to this, has had three top 20 singles.
Fastball had two, I think.
I think finding Fastball on Wikipedia is going to be hard.
It was Fire Escape, and then they had a slow song, Out of My Head. Those were the three.
Okay,
along with The Way.
Mind and they started dancing.
Make Your Mama Proud did not have a hit. Pain Money Can Buy.
There it is.
Okay, All the Pain Money Can Buy was the album.
Yes.
That went to 29th.
Uh-huh.
It is a platinum record.
Mm-hmm.
And,
the Way with 44 million downloads, so it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I mean, I don't even know how that works. That's all garbage streaming.
You click on Fastball, it says fans also like, and it's just pictures of dog stool. It's just... You can click on whichever one you want. There's a log, a loaf, you know.
So they're similar to Matchbox 20.
No, that's just mashed potatoes. Matchbox 20 is mashed potatoes, white bread. Click on either of those.
The Way went to 21st. The Way is a better song than Use Your Love, I would say.
Oh, well, I mean, you and I will disagree.
Even though Mike Key is in Fastball. If you look at the picture of the album, that is Mike Key. Dave, have you heard of that song before?
I've never heard that song, but it's so vanilla. I might have heard it a million times and not known it. But I got to say, I'm really disappointed that I think Rich was confusing the Kelly Clarkson song.
No, that's how it goes. It's
well, since you've been gone, by Kelly Clarkson's a wonderful pop song.
It's the jam. It's the jam.
That's a great
I'm in the outfield and now I'm dead.
All right, very quickly, line three. Brian, have you heard that song?
I have, and on the Bang Tango single of Someone Like You, they do a cover of that song on the B-side.
Oh, nice. When you have the great Bang Tango getting involved in that. Finally, we do not have time for five calls, but Steve, go ahead.
Never heard that song, but you're forgetting one good song by them called Winning It All. And it was on NBA Superstars 2. It was the Larry Bird song.
Well, now you're talking. All right. I've never even heard of that game.
Ain't gonna rock away.
All right. We have to break. We'll be right back.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford-certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestford.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And he is greeted by Betts, a shot into right, back at the wall, and it's gone. One pitch, one more run, and the first Dodger postseason home run for Mookie Betts. 7-1. There he goes. Now he's their cleanup. That is a stolen base. Glasnow has struck out 7. There goes Betts. Double steal. Throw it down is too late. On the strikeout at the plate of Turner, a double steal. Now he's their cleanup hitter. He grabs the first. Throw home and not in time. Around the tag is Betts. Great base running by Mookie Betts, and it's 3-1 Dodgers here in the fifth inning.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That's Mookie Betts. And it's funny, when Mookie Betts was a very young player, I had a guy who's involved in baseball tell me he ain't the future. And boy, was he wrong, and boy, was I wrong by reiterating that or carrying that statement onto the air. But we know what Mookie Betts is as a star, but what I have to say is enough. From Red Sox people, I heard in John's headline, to be upset. I mean, it is what it is. If you hadn't won a World Series, I get it. You won a World Series. You got what you got. You knew it was going to happen, and Mookie Betts doesn't do you any good right now anyway. You got a lot of holes to fill, and you're lucky you got some prospects for him, and you got some guys that are going to be everydayers. So, you had a blank roster. A blank roster. You had literally no rotation. None. And you still don't. And so you have a lot of pieces to fill in. And if you think one guy making $100 million a year is going to be the guy that is going to do you any good, I understand how good Mookie Betts is. And he filled his role admirably and got you a World Series. But you sold your soul to Dave Dombrowski, but you won a World Series. And that was the deal. You shook hands with the devil. And you knew that there was going to be a fallout. You knew you mortgaged your system. And John did it earlier today, and it doesn't take a statistician to figure it out, that the Dodgers are a very young team and the Rays are a very young team. And the way that they built themselves, I mean, certainly the Dodgers have a huge payroll, and they have guys like Kershaw and Betts.
And ultimately, their young talent is going to demand incredible amounts of money. But here's the thing. Well, they will up to a point, but they're also, if they choose to, they can replace these guys. Like, say Seager winds up, and I don't know what Seager's contract deal is off the top of my head, but ultimately, if he keeps playing like this, he's going to demand $25, $30 million a season. And you know what? The Dodgers have a farm system. Gavin Lux will step in for that man. Lux is one of the best three prospects in baseball, and you're back to paying a really good player cheap. Right. Which is something the Red Sox don't have.
Yeah, they have managed.
That's the difference. The Dodgers have this mammoth payroll, but they also have a top five farm system.
Which is, if you look at the World Series, which is the way that teams with sustainable success are built. Now, unfortunately for Tampa Bay, this is the window. And once these guys mature and become free agents, they're not going to be able to pay and keep them. So this is the way it goes. But, I mean, young talent and...
This would have made sense if they got a super hot prospect back when they traded Mookie Betts.
Well, unfortunately, Rich, when there's half a year left on a guy's contract and you move him, that's the way it goes. You don't get
and the Dodgers could say, even though I'm sure there was a wink and a nudge agreement between the two parties when the deal was consummated, that, you know, Mookie, this is what we're going to pay you. And Mookie's like, no problem. So... the Dodgers could say, well, we don't know if we're going to have him back next year. We're not going to give you our top prospect for a guy who might leave at the end of the season.
I just can't figure out why it was a good idea for the Red Sox, because they didn't get anything back that makes them any closer to what you're talking about.
Actually, they did. Rich, I understand what you're saying, but it steps in that direction. You got your everyday right fielder to replace Betts, including your leadoff hitter. That's the one of maybe two or three good things that happened to the Red Sox this season is that they found out that Alex Verdugo can hit both righties and lefties and play a decent right field. Is he as good as Betts? No. There aren't many people that are. Maybe two people currently walking the face of the earth that play that position that are as good as him. But Alex Verdugo is an everyday right fielder that can lead off for you, and this kid Downs is apparently your next second baseman, and that's what you got for Betts.
And so you have three-fourths of your – you have your infield for the future.
Yes.
So hopefully.
Well, you have second, third, and short taken care of.
Yes. Second, third, and short, yes, taken care of.
And maybe this kid Dahlbeck, who is great to watch because he strikes out 40% of the time, maybe he'll be your first
baseman. But I can fill in a first base if I'm the Red Sox.
Ultimately,
I have the
you
salary.
Probably can, yes.
Yes, then I can go out and get free agents when I'm starting to pick. But I'm not signing five starters, a closer, two outfield positions, two-fourths of my infield. I mean, I'm not doing it.
If you're the Red Sox, Rich, and I'll ask you this question. If you're the Red Sox and you paid Mookie Betts, what was it, 12 years and $326 million, whatever it was. I don't have the number here in front of me. I'll look it up later. And you pay him that amount of money with Eovaldi's salary and Sale's salary and the money ultimately.
Well, now you and I agree on something, and that is this whole you sold out to get a World Series – you didn't have to. That Sale contract and the Eovaldi one came after the World Series.
Different,
you did not have to lock yourself into that.
That's a different argument than the one we're talking about.
But it's both. It's like you let the ownership off the hook for getting to a point where they got rid of
John,
Mookie Betts.
John, you're so bad at arguing.
The argument was Betts, right?
No, but then you brought up Sale and Eovaldi, which aren't part of the conversation.
I opened
up the window a little bit for Rich to sneak back in.
No, because you brought up something that's not even part of your argument.
Okay, the argument. All right, let's focus on the argument. Hachi, is Betts. If you have Betts and you don't have anything around him for 3 or 4 years until you draft better and bring prospects back up. I mean, you have Betts, you have Devers, and you have Bogarts, and that's it.
Well, that's good because he's going to be in his prime for at least 5 more years. So you have plenty of time to be able to put a good team around him. And on top of that, as a fan, there's no one I want to see playing out there.
Well,
right
if
now.
You want to watch
no
him as
one.
A fan,
at least
that's
you got
one
a superstar.
Thing. If I'm building a team, Betts isn't part of the plan. I can go get a kid. I can go get a guy or pay one of my own guys that kind of money when we have a chance at winning. I'm not paying a guy to hold 4 years to be on a crap team.
It's the pitching, and that's the thing. The pitching costs more than just about anything else.
And what did you get by getting rid of Mookie?
No, I wanted a pitcher, but they didn't get one.
No, but if you're the Red Sox, you're paying tens of millions of dollars to a guy on a team that's going to suck.
Because
regardless if you have it or not.
Because you don't have the pitching to compete. That's the problem.
And you can't just go out and get five starters or go out and purchase a bullpen.
If you're lucky, you hit on one free agent that helps you.
Yes.
Pitching-wise. And
well, if you're the Red Sox, let's go crazy. If you're the Red Sox, you could pay your top two starters. You need to fill out that rotation.
And that's not an ideal scenario.
You don't have any young starters to do that.
No, you have nothing young. You mortgaged everything. So you would be, if you, for a fan perspective, it would be nice if you're a Red Sox fan to see Mookie Betts in the outfield every week, every day. But if you're the Red Sox, I'm not paying that salary to a guy who's just going to be a great player on a crap team. We got to go. When we come back, Manish Mehta, who hates someone more than anyone covering a team has ever hated anyone, arguably. We will have that for you in just a moment.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at thebestford.com.
Go to www.bestfording.com/special-event-disclosures for full details.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.